Well, good morning, everyone. Can I give you a very warm welcome to our time of worship here at Little Hill? My name is John Eardley, and I'm from the church here, and I'll be leading our time together this morning. Can I give a welcome to those watching online as well? Very warm welcome to you, and a special warm welcome to our international student guests here with us as well. We've got students here from India, Pakistan, China, Afghanistan, Kenya. Have I left anybody out? Is that everyone? A very warm welcome to you all. Good to have you with us here this morning. We're going to begin by singing from the supplement book, number 11, a great song that encourages us to come to God and bring our praise and worship. It's an invitation to come to Him. That's why we're here. We're here to praise God, to worship Him, and give Him all the glory, not ourselves. And the last verse says this, that we are not to harden our hearts towards God, but to hear His voice and to receive His love. God is a loving God and wants us to have a loving relationship with Him. So let's stand and sing this hymn together. Let's come to that God in prayer. Let's all pray. Our Father, we thank You that it's possible to know You, possible to speak to You in this way, and to have a daily relationship with You. We come to praise and worship You because You are a God who is worthy of praise. Thank You that You are our Creator. You are the maker of all things. Thank You that You are the King, a ruler greater than any other ruler. And we come to bow the knee before You this morning, to humble ourselves before You. Come to admit that because You are unseen, we too often forget about You or ignore You. We pray You'll forgive us for this sin and all the many other sins make our hearts unclean before You. and make our consciences troubled and afraid. We confess that we very easily sin against you. We are proud and we are selfish. We are jealous and envious of others. We tell lies. We are lustful and lazy and greedy when we have more than enough. And we are often miserable and not satisfied with all the good things that you've given to us. Pray that you will forgive us. We thank you, you've made a way for us to be forgiven, made clean, and at peace with you. We thank you for the righteousness, the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, a perfect righteousness that you give to us when we put our faith in him. Help us then this morning to hear your voice speaking to us. Convince us of our sin and our need of forgiveness. Help us not to harden our hearts, but to obey you and to receive what your love so freely gives to us, to accept your salvation, the salvation found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, now let me just give you a few notices. Immediately after our service this morning, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Now, the Lord's Supper is a special meal. We're going to be thinking about that from the Bible and trying to understand a bit more about that. And then the Christians here in the church, we're going to enjoy this meal. This table has got some bread and wine for this meal called, we call it the Lord's Supper. And if you're a Christian, you're invited to stay and take the bread and wine. But even if you're not a Christian, do stay and do observe, watch what we do. It'll help you to understand what Christianity is all about. So you do stay and just let the bread and wine pass you by. The international students will be staying for a proper meal afterwards as well, for a meal here in the church. But before that, we're all invited to stay for refreshments. But so do stay afterwards for a cup of tea, a coffee, and refreshments together. Now, it's a big month this month, lots happening. A couple of things for the men to take note of. We have a men's event on the 13th of the month. Here are the invitation cards as reminders. And that's a meal at the Shires Inn in Peatling Parva. Joe Bailey is the speaker, but if you're coming, you do need to sign up your name on the list in the foyer. So do make sure you do that before you go. That's absolutely free. And then there's another event for men. The very next day, you can have lunch as well. And that's a Shed event, but it's not just for the regular men who come to Shed. All men are invited. We can have lunch at the Rose and Crown in Thurnby, followed by Skittles. Now, this is very popular, but if you'd like to come, you do need to let Trevor know. And that meal will be Wednesday the 14th at 12 o'clock noon. But let Trevor know. He'll tell you, I think, what's on the menu, so you can make your choices. But let him know before Tuesday this week, please. So there you go, men. Two things for you. Then for all of us, also in June, on the 17th of June, Saturday the 17th, it's the Church's Day at Brockington College. And that's 10 o'clock for kickoff at 11. Okay? And there's plenty happening. There's a speaker, special speaker from Wales, Ian Parry. And there's an It's a Knockout, there's swimming, there's football, children's activities, and so on. Plenty to enjoy. So I encourage you to go along to that. And then students, if you'd like to take away something to read afterwards to help you understand more about the Christian message, do have a look at the table at the back. You might well find something in your own language. So there's Bibles little bits, booklets and things you can take away to help you to understand the Christian message. So do have a look at the table there at the back before you go. Well, now we're going to have the children's talk, so I'll hand over to James. Thank you, James.
Children, like to come to the front, please. Okay, lovely. Who likes quizzes? Who likes sweeties? Who likes quizzes and sweeties? Okay, good. Because that's what we're going to have today. We're going to have a little quiz and some sweets to help us with the story. Okay, now I've chosen some questions here. So when I point to you, okay? I want you to have a go at your question, because I'm not going to say names, I'm just going to point, and then I'll let you have a go, okay? And if you get one right, then you get your sweetie. Okay, I'm sure you'll be fine with this quiz. It's not too tricky. Firstly, our story starts off in a place called Egypt. Okay, and in Egypt, there were these special kings of Egypt that had a name. What were these kings of Egypt called? Pharaoh, you're absolutely right. Okay, pick a sweet. Well done. You hold on to that, okay? Maybe have it a little bit later on. Well done. Pharaohs, that's exactly right. They're the pharaohs. Well done. First question straight away. And, you know, this pharaoh was quite hard on the people. He didn't know Joseph or anyone that came after Joseph who had been learning about the last few weeks. And we come to a time when actually these pharaohs were ruling God's people, the Israelites, the people of Israel, really harshly. And they were looking at these people, they say, there's too many of them. They're in our land, we don't want them here. Let's make them our slaves. Let's make them work hard for us. So you can see there in the picture, can't you? He's commanding the Egyptians there to work God's people like slaves in the land of Egypt. And they worked hard for them. And they made them build cities and big palaces for them. You can see them working hard there. They were really harsh on them. But you know, God was with his people. And the harder the Egyptians worked them, the more God blessed his people and made them more and more. So there were more and more of God's people. And the Egyptians just said, work them harder. Yeah, make them work that bit harder. That's how Pharaoh treated God's people in the land. Now, the women in the land had lots of children. And these two women here, one called Shiphrah and one called Puah, they had a special important job. Their job was helping the women have the babies. Now, does anybody know the name that we give? I wonder if you know the name. Begins with a Oh, you're going to have a go? Anybody know here? And maybe we'll pass this one on to one of the students. Let's see. Students, what are we thinking? Come on, there's a sweet in it for you. What was that?
Midwives.
Well done. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Ali. Okay, midwives. Well done, midwives. That was a tricky one, okay? And these women really feared God. And they didn't want to do what Pharaoh was about to say. Because Pharaoh had something that he was saying. He said, you know what? We are going to make sure these Israelites, God's people, the Hebrews, they don't have any more children. Okay? So what we're going to do, we're going to make sure all the girls are killed or all the boys are killed. What do we think they said? Do you think they said all the boys or all the girls? You're absolutely right. He said the boys. That was a good one. Did you know that? That was very good. You hold on to that. He said the boys. All the baby boys, you've got to kill them. What a terrible thing to say. But these women feared God. And so they didn't actually listen to Pharaoh. And so when the women gave birth to these babies, they just ignored Pharaoh. And they let them live, these baby boys. And because of this, God blessed them. God looked after them and gave these midwives families of their own. Now, who did these women obey? Who did these women obey? Was it the Pharaoh or was it God? What do you think? What do you think? You have a... Who do you think? Go on then, you say it. God, you're absolutely right. Well done. Well done. You got yourself a sweetie. And one for your brother. Yeah, I think he's just gone away. There we go. Well done. Okay. God, they obeyed God. They didn't listen to Pharaoh. And they just came to Pharaoh. And he said, why are all these Hebrews here? Why are God's people still here? Why are these women still having babies? And these women bravely had to say, well, these women are very strong. And they just give birth before we even get there. So that's what they told him. Now, Pharaoh told them a new thing. He said, right, we've really got to get rid of these babies now. We've got to throw them in the special river that is in Egypt. I wonder if you know the name of that river in Egypt. The special river. Maybe check with your brother if you're not sure. Begins with that The River Nile. Well done. You got it. Well done. Very good. Okay, the River Nile. Throw them into the Nile. That was the new command. So that's what they were to do. But you know, there was one family who had a little three-month-old baby. And they were finding it harder and harder to look after this baby. Why do you think it would be hard to look after a baby? What do babies do? Wah, wah. What do babies like to do a lot of? They do. What am I doing? Wah. What do? They, babies do. They cry, that's right. Well done. Oh, well done, Daddy, as well. Go on, Daddy. Yes, well done. They cry. Babies cry. They make a lot of noise. And so this baby was hard to look after. And it was hard to keep quiet from the Egyptians. Good. And, you know, the mum decided, okay, I've got an idea. I'm going to take my baby. I'm going to put him in a basket. Seems a bit strange, doesn't it? I'm going to put something on the basket. What is she putting on that basket there? Any idea? It is like tar, you know, and I've got another word for it. Pitch as well. We can call it tar or pitch. Well done. And she's putting it on there. It's where we get the word pitch black from, because it's very black, isn't it? Like pitch. And why do you think she's putting that on there? What do you think she wants it to be? Nice. And it is a good hiding place. Well done. Why do you think she's putting that on? Go on. It could be. It is going to be warm, isn't it? You take one of those then. Come on. It's going to be very waterproof, because she's going to put her baby in the water. Okay, so it needs to be water. It can't let any water come through. Now, she placed the baby, we're told in the Bible, near a plant. Could anybody know the name, special name of the plant that she put the baby near? Yeah, you haven't had a go. Do you know the name? It begins with a B. The bull. I'll tell you, it's the bulrushes, okay? You'll have another chance in a minute. The bulrushes. And the baby's sister there was Miriam, and she was looking out for the baby as well as the baby was placed near the bulrushes. So, after a while, okay, Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river to have a bath. And she spotted something in the water. She spotted the baby. And she felt sorry for the baby, and she realized it's one of the Hebrew babies. And the baby was crying, and she felt sorry for it, and she took pity on it and picked it up. And suddenly nearby, there was Moses, the baby's, I can't say the name yet, the baby's sister. What did I say the name? Can you remember the name of the baby? Miriam, well done, well remembered. Oh, very good there. Miriam, and Miriam was there, and she said, yes, I can find you somebody to look after the baby, to be like a nurse for the baby. And you know what she did? She went home and got her mum to look after the baby. So Pharaoh's daughter actually paid this baby's mum to look after her own baby. How strange, but that's what happened. God was good and looked after the baby. And eventually, this baby came to live in Pharaoh's own palace and was looked after by Pharaoh's daughter. But we're missing something, because we still don't know the name of this baby, do we? We don't know the name. No, we definitely don't know the name of it. What was the name of this baby? Moses. It was Moses. Go on. There we go. Okay. Very good. Moses, because she said, I drew him up out of the water. And apparently that word, drew up, to take out, means, sounds in their language, something like Moses in Hebrew. So that's the name I went with, Moses. And we're going to find out more about Moses in the next few weeks. Very good. Has everybody got sweets? Yeah, hold on. Oh, some of you are munching away. That's all right. Okay, some of you can have them upstairs as well. We're going to have our song now, so you might want to just stop chewing for a minute, just so you can sing this. It's all about Jesus loves us, and little ones, even like baby Moses, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Thank you.
Jesus loves me, this I know. Thank you for that, James. We're going to sing again now before we read from the Bible, God's Word. We're going to sing from the red hymn book, if you're using the books, but they are all, hymns are all projected. Number 556, Not All the Blood of Beasts on Jewish Altars Slain. Now, beast here, the word beast doesn't mean monster. Beast is an old-fashioned word for animals. Beasts were animals. And God told his people in the Old Testament part of the Bible, that they should sacrifice animals in their place for their sins. But the Bible points out that none of the animals could ever take away our sins. They weren't good enough for that. The animals were pointing forward to Jesus coming later, the only one who can take away our sins. It's his sacrifice on the cross that does that for us when we trust in him. So let's sing this hymn together. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to turn to the Bible now and have our Bible reading. Then we're going to think about this passage. So if you've got a Bible, keep your Bible open. It should be projected, the reading, for you to follow. We're reading from Luke chapter 22 and verse 7 down to verse 23. Luke 22, verse 7 to 23. This is the night before Jesus dies on the cross. And he knows he's going to the cross. It's all been planned by God the Father and by him. And the night before his death, what does he do? He goes out for a meal with his friends. That's amazing, isn't it? Would you do that if you knew you're going to die the next day? That's what Jesus does. So let's hear what God's word says. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where would you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. What I'd like to do this morning is to think about our memories, how we remember things. Some of us have good memories, and some of us are not very good at remembering things, especially when we get older. And you know it's important, isn't it, to remember those vital things that you need for life. God wants us to know the most important things we should know, and has told us those things in the Bible. How we can know him, the true God. How we can know our sins forgiven and not be afraid. How we can live and follow him. And how we can know heaven. And one day, when Jesus comes back, how we can live with Jesus on this earth. He's going to make a new world. How we can live in a perfect world without sin. Those are the most important things God tells us in the Bible. He wants us to know those things and understand them, and he wants us to remember them. In what we've read, Jesus is giving to his disciples, his 12 closest disciples called the apostles, the men he sent out with his message, he's given them a way of remembering the most important thing of all, how we can come to know God through his death on the cross. He's given them a special meal. We call it the Lord's Supper that we're going to have after this service. So we're going to think about that this morning. Now, we use lots of different ways to remember things, don't we? We use, I think many of you use your phones, don't you? I've got my mobile phone in here. I forgot to switch it off, but I haven't got many friends, so I don't think I'm going to get a call this morning. But I know you younger people in the room, you use these, don't you, as an extra memory cell, part of your brain to remember things. You put things in here, don't you, to remember them. Did you know in the past people used to use those things to remember things? Did you know that? Let's do a little survey. The students and people under 20, hands up if you've got one of those in your pocket. Hands up. Okay. How about those over 40? Hands up if you've got one of those in your pocket. Yes, I can see a few hands. You see, it's a thing for older people like me. I'm old school. I've got a hanky. It's a handkerchief, in case you didn't know what it was. And what do we use it for? Blow our nose or sneeze into. But did you know in the past, people used to use their hankies to remember things. Can you see there's a knot in the hanky? What would happen be if you met somebody in the street and they told you something and you didn't have something to write it down and you wanted to remember it, you'd get your hanky and tie a knot in it. And then when you went home, you felt a knot in your hanky and said, well, what did I put that in my hanky for? Oh, I remember. It's what so-and-so told me. Strange, isn't it? But that's what people used to do to help their memories. What about this? Have you ever done that? You've not got a piece of paper, you've got a pen, you write the phone number on your hand so you don't forget it. Yes? And what about this? We like to remember certain occasions because we want to give thanks and be joyful. We want to commemorate, remember a particular day in history, in our history. We remember our birthdays. And what do? We have a meal, a celebration, maybe a birthday cake to help us remember things. Well, here we have in our passage a meal to remember, a meal to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I want us to do this morning is to think about these two questions. What is the Lord's Supper? It's a salvation memory meal. Salvation memory meal. Then we're going to say, what's the Lord's Supper? And we're going to see it's a salvation symbols meal. Those are the two things we're looking at this morning. Let's look at the first one. The Lord's Supper is a salvation memory meal. Now, perhaps we ought to, first of all, make sure we all know what we mean by salvation. Salvation, being saved. You know what it means to be saved? It means to be rescued. Maybe out of the sea if you've fallen in and you're drowning. But to be rescued, salvation from God's point of view for us is to be saved from sin, the wrong things we've done, to be saved from death and to be saved from hell. That's most important salvation. And we ought to say about this Lord's Supper, I hope you can see that, there are different ways people, different titles people give to the Lord's Supper. We call this meal the Lord's Supper because it was Jesus' last meal. It's called the Last Supper because he died the next day. And we call it the Lord's Supper because the Lord gave it to us to keep remembering him. And perhaps I ought to say what supper is, because I know if you're from a different country, we use all kinds of different names for meals. Okay, so do we all know breakfast? We all have breakfast, first meal of the day. Lunch in the middle of the day, yes. Does anybody have brunch here in between? Americans have brunch, don't they, in between breakfast and lunch. And then dinner. When do we have dinner? Dinner towards tea time. Tea time. We have dinner, don't we? Sometimes people have dinner at lunchtime. British people, sometimes they have it later in the day. But supper is the last meal in the day. Yes? The evening meal, as it was for Jesus here. That's why we call it the Lord's Supper. And we even call it the Lord's Supper when we have it in the morning, like we're going to today. That's confusing, isn't it? Here's another word. We call this meal communion. Some Christians call it communion because it's communal. We have it as a community. We have fellowship together. We enjoy it together. It's not a meal you have by yourself in your room. You have it with other people to enjoy it together. And then another word for it, a fancy word. Anybody know Greek here? Don't know if this is a modern or an old Greek word. It's called the Eucharist. Eucharist is from the Greek word for thanksgiving, because what we're doing here is thanking God for saving us. We're full of joy and thanksgiving when we have this meal, though it's a serious meal because it cost Jesus his life. So those are some of the words about this meal, but we do need to think a bit further as we have already been thinking about this man, because when Jesus went in that upstairs room, do you remember he went upstairs to celebrate what was called the Passover? Now, this was a meal, the Passover, given to the Jewish people as a salvation memory meal. They're remembering his salvation out of Egypt. We've just heard a little bit about that from James in the children's talk. We've heard how God's people were in slavery in Egypt. And under those cruel conditions, under the cruel Pharaoh then, the people of God cried out to God to save them, to help them out of their slavery. And God heard their prayer and sent them a savior, somebody to be a leader, to lead them out. And that man was Moses, that we heard about. He grew up and he became the rescuer, the leader to lead God's people out into salvation, out of slavery in Egypt. And what happened was this. This is historical, a real event that happened 1446 BC, we think around then. It's recorded in the Bible in Exodus chapter 12. God was so angry with Pharaoh because he was stubborn. He hardened his heart against God. We've used that word already, isn't it? We can be hard-hearted towards God and want our own way. Well, this was Pharaoh, the stubborn king. He wouldn't let God's people go. God sent Moses to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "No." So what did God do? God, in his power, sent 10 terrible plagues on Egypt. Flies, the river Nile turned to blood, frogs coming on the land, and so on. And each time Pharaoh ignored them and hardened his heart, or else he said, "Yes, you can go, go," but then he changed his mind, sometimes at the last minute. So finally, God sent the worst plague of all, a plague of death on the land. God passed over the land and he struck down all the firstborn sons of the Egyptians. From Pharaoh's firstborn son to the firstborn son of the slave girl. Even the firstborn animals died. But not God's people. Why? Because they listened to God and they heard his voice, and they obeyed God and did what he said to be saved. God told them what they must do. He said, "Take a lamb and kill the lamb in your place as your substitute. And take the blood of the lamb and paint it on your door frame. And then when I pass over your houses and see the blood, I won't strike any of you down in my judgment. And then eat the lamb with bitter herbs to remember your bitter experience in Egypt, and eat flat bread, and then I'll set you free." And that's what happened. God passed over the land and didn't kill any of the Israelites. And Pharaoh finally gave in and set the people free and let them go towards the promised land God had given to them. And that lamb that was killed was called the Passover lamb, because God had passed over the homes of the Israelites and spared them, hadn't killed them. They were free from death and they were set free. And ever since that day, God said the Jews were to keep that special meal called the Passover. Eat a lamb, eat bitter herbs and bread. And Jews still keep that meal today. So in this upstairs room, that's what Jesus is going with his disciples to enjoy, the Passover meal. To look back and remember salvation of the Jews. It was a salvation memory meal. And what Jesus then does in that meal is very interesting. Jesus chose this time of the year to die at Passover. He wanted them to see the link between the Passover and salvation for the Jews and his salvation for all people, people like us from every nation. He wanted us to see the link between that Passover and him. He takes two bits of the Passover meal, bread and wine, and says, "Eat the bread, drink the wine to remember my death for you on the cross." In other words, I am your Passover lamb. In fact, when Jesus started his ministry, there was a famous preacher called John the Baptist, and he saw Jesus coming and he pointed to him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There's the bread and the wine, just a picture for us. And then later, the Apostle Paul said this about Jesus: "Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." Can you see what Jesus is doing with this meal? He wants to point us to his death as a substitute, like the Passover lamb, a substitute for us in our sins, if we believe in him, to be saved. So then, the first thing, the Lord's Supper is a salvation memory meal, that we wouldn't forget his death for us. Secondly, the Lord's Supper is a salvation symbols meal. A salvation symbols meal. What are symbols? Everybody know what symbols or signs are? We can't avoid signs and symbols. They're all around us, aren't they? Did you notice just above the door there, there's a sign there or a symbol, a little man running and an arrow. What's that all about? Well, it's telling us that's the way to escape. I think it says fire exit as well, isn't it? It's showing us, if we can't read the English, that's where you go if there's a fire. It points us to the reality of where we escape. That's the point of a symbol or a sign. Here's a definition of a symbol. A symbol represents or stands for something else. It is not the real thing, but a sign that points to the real thing. And that's important when we think about the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. Now, anybody here learning to drive? I know one person who's learning to drive. And when you learn to drive, you have to learn lots of symbols, road signs that tell you about important things you mustn't get wrong, or else you'll fail your test, or even worse, you might crash. How about this one? Anybody know what this one means? Man at work, yes, workers. Yes, it's not a man trying to get his umbrella up in the wind. It's telling us about roadworks up ahead. Now, the sign is not the real thing, is it? It's just a picture. But if we ignore the reality, well, at least we'll be stuck behind that sign and roadworks, won't we? And waiting and waiting. Or worse, if we just plow on, we'll end up in the ditch with the man digging the hole, won't we? It's important not to ignore the reality that the sign is pointing to. What about this sign? We mustn't ignore this one either, must we? That's telling us of a huge danger and risk of electrocution. Now, it's not the sign that's dangerous, is it? You know, it doesn't do anything. You can touch the sign and go near it. But if you go near what it's warning you about and pointing to, the reality, you're in real danger. Risk of electrocution and death. And here in the Bible passage, here is Jesus telling his apostles about the bread. He says this about the bread: "This bread is my body," says Jesus, "which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." What's he saying? Is he saying, "This bread is my body," is literally my body? No, it doesn't mean that. He's telling us the bread is a symbol. It's a picture, a sign, pointing to the reality of his body that's going to be given for them on the cross the next day. You see? It's a sign, it's a symbol. And Jesus very often used that kind of language, picture language, symbols, to help us understand something important. For example, these words. Jesus once said, "I am the door." Now, did he mean he was made out of wood like a door? Literally. No. Some versions say, "I am the gate." He's talking about the way in, the way of access. In those days, shepherds would have a special enclosure to keep the sheep safe at night. And the way in was through the gate or the door. Actually, the shepherd used to lie down across the entrance and be the door to protect the sheep so no animals could get in. What Jesus is saying, that he, like a door into the sheepfold for the sheep to be safe, he is the door, the gate, the way in, access into knowing God, into his salvation. He's the way. So when we put our trust in him, he is the way in. So it's not a literal door. It's telling us about, it's a picture pointing to the reality of the way to know God and his salvation. And the same with the wine. Jesus takes the wine at this meal, the cup, and says, this cup is poured out for you, that's poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. Now, is Jesus saying that the wine is his blood? No. Is he saying the wine changes into his blood? No. He's saying this wine that's poured out into the cup is a symbol pointing to my blood, which tomorrow will be poured out on the cross. When his hands were pierced and his feet, when he was nailed to the cross and a spear pierced his side. And that's important for us to understand. These things, bread and wine, are symbols pointing to the reality of Jesus crucified on the cross. Because the Lord's Supper is a salvation symbols meal. These symbols point to him. And we Christians here are going to have bread and wine in a moment together, and we are going to remember with real joy and thanksgiving that God has saved us. And that bread and wine is just bread and wine. It won't do anything really to us, for us, but it points us to Jesus and the reality of what he did for us on the cross. And so we rejoice, because he saved us. And that's what the Lord's Supper is all about. Peace with God. Joy in knowing him. Maybe it's time for you to come to Jesus and understand the reality of his cross and what he did on the cross. This is not just something for British people or Western people. This is for people of all nations, the way to know God. And to know your sins forgiven. If you accept that you are a sinner, and if you trust in Jesus' body on the cross, dying for you as your Passover lamb, God will pass over your sin, and you will not be judged. If you trust in that blood that the wine speaks about that was poured out on the cross, that blood will wash away all your sins and you will be clean in God's sight. And if you trust in Jesus, it's like a door, a gateway that will open up for you and you'll go in and know God. Now, in my garden, I've got a fence at the end of the garden and there's a gate in it. It's like a door. We had it put there because we've got lovely neighbours at the back of us, very friendly neighbours who are our friends. And there's the big fence, and there's the door. Now, if I'm going to go through and spend time and speak to my lovely friends who live at the back of us, and enjoy their company, I've got to do something. I've got to open the door and go in. And if you are going to know God as your friend and be able to speak to him and live with him, you have to go through the door. And that door is Jesus. You have to put your trust in him. And when you do, you go into that relationship. My prayer is that all of us here will know that reality so that one day we might all be able to share the symbols together of bread and wine that speak of salvation. The Lord's Supper is a salvation memory meal. It's a salvation symbols meal. May God give us all his salvation. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn to close this part of our service about the Lord's Supper. Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away. And we'll just sing the first three verses, and the final verse we'll sing after the Lord's Supper. So let's stand and sing together. just pray. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Amen.